Hello everyone! Welcome to another IT Career Talk with Professionals. And today I have the Country Head of Technology. My guest today is Mr. Sam Ariola. Good day, Sam.
Hey man. Good day. Hello to everyone that's watching this. Hope you're having a blast.
So Sam, maybe we can start off by asking, what is a country head of technology? It's a unique position. Huh? It's not very often seen.
Yeah, well, it's really just like another name for a country CTO. So pretty much I head the technology unit of True Money and basically am responsible for everything technology within the country. So that involves everything from product development to operations, service delivery, support, infosec, and all of that.
Right, right. Yeah. And maybe just to understand it better, is the systems when you are dealing with the multiple countries, like you mentioned, since you are the country head, is it independent or how much of independence in terms of technology is a country from a different country?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, well, True Money started out as independent in terms of technology. There was there's a certain autonomy within each country as to what platform, what tech stack to implement. So, but then of course, when you're looking at it from a regional perspective, you would want to as well maximize what you can do across the region so that you don't really reinvent the wheel,
right?
So to speak. So. In the last couple of years, True Money has shifted towards bridging and having a more of a consistent regional platform that is then applied across all countries. And so the direction has been to move towards that.
I see. Now, for yourself, now what are the skills and values that you need to possess to become a country head of technology?
Oh, okay. Skills and values. Well, it's really... You have to think about this in this position that you are really, you have to think about it that you have a team behind you that delivers. So you have to be, if I'm going to look at it, it's really, it's like having three roles. It's really to enable, it's like you're an enabler, so to speak. So you have to enable the teams below you, the teams that you manage, the teams that you lead, the managers and the one downs so that they can do their contribution effectively. So you have to enable them. That's one. One is that you're also sort of an orchestrator. So you have to understand what you're trying to do from a very broad perspective. And at the same time, be tuned in to the small bits, not to the littlest of detail, but you have to be tuned in as to what's happening as well as you go through that performance or as you go through that delivery. So this will be in terms of projects, in terms of support, compliance requirements, and all of that. So, and at the same time, you would be, in a way, you'd be the director of things, there will be situations where you have to be the one to decide. You have to provide the technical direction. You have to be the one to weigh in on certain things that, in a way, there are technical decisions that you are the only one that can make, basically.
Right.
And you're eventually accountable and responsible for everything that you put out there. Everything that you have for your customers, for your internal customers, and for the stakeholders and the people that you work with, both within the local, on the local side and also on the regional side. So it's really, there's a lot of breadth that you have to cover in this position. And there's a certain amount of depth in terms of technology and the pieces that comprises that. So, I hope I was able to shed some light on that question.
And as a manager that you mentioned, both people and the technology, how do you describe your management style? Boss na boss ba?
I'm...
Chief na chief?
Well, I used to be tech. I used to be a developer, kasi. So you have to understand, you also understand that you're working with a different set of people. You're working with technical people, creative people, and so the way my management style is more around, I sort of start out as like a coach and just having a sense of clarity between what you're supposed to do, what your role is, and what my role is, and what we're trying to do together. And so, and there's a lot of trust involved in that aspect. And so I build that first. And then from there, we sort of walk together towards, okay, are we really getting to what we agreed upon or what we aligned in the beginning? And that's where the management comes in when, you know, things are not being delivered. I am not the type of manager that really counts. I mean, I'm not the big brother kind of type. We're in like, what are you doing? I mean, what's this? What's that? I mean, we agree on things that we need to deliver. You understand the value that we need to put out, and that's it. And as long as you deliver, I don't care. However you do it. So that's pretty much, that has worked with me for more than a decade now.
right. So you mentioned that you are a developer. At this position, are you still actively, or do you still contribute or do scripting? And if so, what's your preferred stack?
Well, I haven't, since I joined True Money, I haven't been able to actually write code. So prior, I was dipping in with Flutter because I was doing this app for a startup. But ever since I joined True Money, it's like, there's just a lot of work.
Right.
And the value that I have to put there is not on the coding part. So, but what I'm doing now, since there's just a lot of things that has already finished in terms of the project that I've done, is I'm starting to pick up Go. I've been trying to find time to pick up Go for a while. So you ask me this probably 3 months from now, I'll be saying, yeah, I'm using Go now.
Right. So let's check up on that 3 months from now. Maybe we can do a follow-up.
That'll be fun.
Right. So, you know, now that you've joined True Money, it's a, you know, like I said, it's operating globally. No, it's not just in the Philippines.
Regionally.
So basically, remote work is, in general, part of the culture. No, how do you feel about remote working, given that you're a regional company?
Well, just for additional context, so each country would have its own set of operations.
Right.
So prior to the pandemic, we're actually going to the office. So, but prior to being part of True Money, I've been working remotely for more than a decade. So, I mean, I'm the kind of guy that believes in results-driven kind of work. And so, I mean, remote work for me is even better because you actually see the output more. And so, I mean, for me, I think that it's, especially for technology, I think we're designed for remote work. Or remote work sort of feels very much in line with what we do. We just have to agree though on, and this is what I, when how I'm managing the team when we're doing work, is that we agree on certain ground rules so that there's not a lot of management overhead, because you have a sense of, like, you have a set of ground rules where people would know when to respond, how to deliver, when they need to be online and all of that. But other than that, I think remote work is, I think it's the way to go.
Right. And right now, in terms of building a team, you know, again, remote working, is there any changes in your hiring strategy at the moment? No? Because maybe you're not able to give or observe people anymore. Is there anything like you know, what's your hiring strategy? Do you look at certification? Do you look at portfolio?
Yeah, pretty much it's still the same. It's funny you mentioned certifications, because Certifications is really just a form of it's like social evidence. So, and it's really the person you're trying to hire. So when you're trying to hire a person, you're trying to hire, you know, the whole person per se. So, and that could very much be his work could be representing, you know, years of experience, certification, as you say, or side projects, and all of those things you tend to like also look into, like what do you do and what do you do when you're not working. And it's a manner of course, there are certain, there's a process towards how we hire people.
Right.
But pretty much it hasn't really changed because it's remote.
I see. Let's step back a little and ask how your journey started. When you were, you know, growing up, did you always had an inclination to tech? Did you even pick technology as your first choice? No? You'd be surprised how many people actually, you know, started off a different profession that ended up in technology, yeah, or vice versa as well. No? What was your journey like?
Right. Well, when I was young, I actually wanted to be a lawyer before. But then my science teacher, when I was in grade 6, I think, he said that you should try, because the direction of the country, he was saying, he came from UP, and he was like saying the direction of the country is towards science and technology, so you would want to pick something that's related to science and technology. So and so that stuck. And then when I was asking my ate, my eldest sister, I asked her, because she was already in college, and I was like thinking of what to pursue, and then she asked me, what do you like to do?
Right.
And what I said was that I like solving problems. So, and she said, oh, then take up computer science. And because she was taking computer science.
Okay.
So she took up computer science. We had a computer at home. And yeah, so I got introduced to programming early on. And I was the kid who was the only guy listening to the computer instructor, where everyone was just doing their own thing during high school. So pretty much I sort of went already with a really technology track, computer science.
All right. And I guess in your case, you had like a home tutor, no? Because you could ask also. or she didn't really help you, no?
We never really overlapped. Uh-huh. So, and what's funny there that she didn't pursue a technical career.
Oh, okay. So, siya yung kabila.
But yeah, I mean, she's happy where she went, and me, I think I'm really built for tech.
Right.
Inclinations are there. You like learning. They never grow tired of learning new things, and you get excited with new like revisiting old problems and then trying to attack them or solve them with new things. And so it's like, yeah, I think I'm in the right industry.
Right. One of the milestones, I would say, no, in the IT career is picking your first job, you know.
Oh, okay.
How did you pick your first job?
It's funny, because my first job was not really technical.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, after I graduated, I wanted to learn from this entrepreneur, who was also a leader within our circle. So I, after college, he offered me, he was doing an experiment. I didn't know it was an experiment at that time. So he was doing an experiment and I wanted to learn from him. So I sort of agreed to that experiment by being his executive assistant. So I get to tag along with him in his meetings and all of this. And in the same, during that time, I was also then having some side projects and doing that whole thing. And so, but after that, I went into a technical career.
Right.
So I started out as a Java developer and then just like moved through the ladders.
Right. Now, at what point did you transition from an individual contributor, like, you know, a Java developer, to being more a manager? And maybe, you know, that experiment actually helped you build up the skills to move up or to change, not to change to management?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you get to be exposed to people that are very has a high work ethic, high level of work ethic, and you know, just really putting out their best always. So you get to set the standard for yourself as well. So I think I was in my between third and fourth year in my career where I started transitioning towards managing or leading teams. And then after that, it's sort of like, and that's where you realize that in a team, it's in a team structure, it's also important to develop your being comfortable as to how to communicate.
Right.
Because when you're all technical but no one communicates, then it's the person that communicates who tends to be the one to transition towards early leadership roles. So I think that's what happened on my case, and I ended up managing a team, and the team grew. I was in this project. We were supporting a concierge company in San Francisco, and we were working with like Fortune 500 companies. And at that point, I remember the CEO then asking me to stop coding because part of my role was managing the team, and like first half of the day is just really to manage everything, teams, projects, and deliverables, and working with the clients. And then the afternoon I would spend really coding. But then he asked me if I could stop coding and just like give that to the team and just focus on managing. So that's when I sort of transitioned towards being full-time,
right,
on leading and managing teams. But then after that, I felt there was, I think a couple of years in, I felt like I wanted to go back to being technical. Because, I mean, that's when, because I wasn't coding anymore. And I was like, you just feel that you still have to have that edge in terms of being hands-on.
Right.
So it's not enough for you to just read through articles, read through opinions of others. I mean, there's still a different satisfaction if you're coding. So after that, as I go through and went through different roles, I would always try to find the opportunity to code. And if I'm not in a position where I really can't code, what I do is at least one project a year is just like, that's something that I do by myself.
Right.
Which I was not able to do when I was with True Money just because of what we had to go through. Right. In the last couple of months. So that's why I'm looking forward to starting Go this year.
I see. In your industry, especially your current role, now it's a fintech company, and you know, yeah, with fintech it's difficult, I would say, because it's money. No? We have to be extra careful with money.
Yes, yes.
So how do you deal, or how do you prepare? How do you prepare with, you know, failure, unexpected events, just to make sure that, you know, pera to eh, di ba? Importante eh, hindi magkamali sa pera.
Yeah, and then that's interesting if you also come in. My career has been spent in the first couple of years. I was working in with like manufacturing enterprise solutions. Right. So you can't really like, I mean, things cannot crash. Like, couple of minutes that the platform or the application is not working is costing the company millions. And then after that, I worked with companies in the US wherein this was on a San Francisco based company, and we were like working with financial institutions as well. And so the fines will be like, I mean, 6 digits USD for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So that the services are off. So it's like you're really keen on always thinking about enterprise.
Wow.
Enterprise level. Mm-hmm. Now, what's funny though is that in a startup, you don't really think like that because you're a startup, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more about delivering, and it's more around like shipping it out there, which is also correct in the context of a startup. Mm-hmm. You have to move fast, you have to put out the code, you have to put out your product and iterate. Now in fintech, You have to be both. Mm-hmm. You have to think enterprise in what you're doing, So you have to go through your process, make sure that there are no gaps, nothing really is like, and of course there will always be like, there will always be things that you have to manage as well because of the speed that you want to get it, because you're a startup. So I think that's what makes fintechs unique in a sense na parang you cannot stand on just one. You right. cannot just be quick and fail. You don't have that luxury with the fintech organization. You have to be quick, but at the same time, as you said, it's money. And so we're under a lot of compliance, regulatory compliance, and it's you have to have that hat that it has to be enterprise. So, and you just really like, you know, you allow that to be cascaded to the teams. And so no shortcuts. And yeah, I mean, you have to have certain frameworks in place.
I see.
So that you don't really get into that.
So I only have a couple more questions left, no? We wanted to understand lang some of the things on you, no? Like currently, you mentioned that you're now going into Golang. So this your learning is, I feel like, some of your passion. What are other passions that you have, both in IT and perhaps even outside IT, no?
Oh, okay. Well, really, it's just that. I mean, I love to learn. I love building things. I like the process of thinking and coming in and executing and seeing the actual product. So I apply that in work that's tech related, and also in hobbies. I tend to enjoy cooking per se, just because of course in product development right now, because of the tools that is available, right? No code, for example, is out there. There are a lot of integrations that you can already do, so you can actually finish a product within like 1 to 3 days. Before, it was different,
right?
But in the same manner, in cooking, it's also the same. So you have to at one point I thought, hey, I'd like to make ramen. And so from idea to studying how to make ramen and actually executing took me about like 2 days. So there's that as well. But I think it's central, idea, execution, that's something that I like.
Right. No. I like asking this question because I think people assume that, you know, as developers, as tech, we are more logical. But I actually believe that we're also quite creative in problem solving. You need a creative mind. It's not just we're not the computer. So that's why I really like. So I see that people actually have a creative output also that goes beyond just the computer. It actually stems out, like you said, cooking and things like this. So I guess my last two questions for you is, you know, given your amount of, like you said, you know, climbing the corporate ladder that you mentioned, how do you personally define success? Is climbing the corporate ladder for you like a good indicator of success? This is just personal opinion, at least for yourself.
I think you have to define what is successful for you. You shouldn't let others define it for you. And like for me, I wouldn't think I'm successful. I've had some success, but I wouldn't think of myself as successful. And when you ask me what is success per se, success is really It's you finding the meaning in what you do, and at the same time, it's you who gets to define that. What is meaningful to you?
Right.
And as you do that, as you are able to do that, then that's the feeling of success then comes to you. If you're thinking about what can I do to be successful, again, you have to define what is successful to you. What's that? Is that an amount? Is that a title? Is that a role? Is that a product? Is that, it's really you who gets to define that.
Right. And so Sam, what makes you successful for yourself?
Yeah, for myself, I know. As I said, I don't really think I'm successful. I've had some success, but I think what contributed to that is that a couple of things. So one is that I put in the hours. So there's no substitute really in putting in the hours to learn and putting in the hours to work.
Right. No shortcuts.
No shortcuts. I mean, there are smart decisions that we can do. I'm not saying don't do that. Let's do that.
Yes.
No. But it's different when you're taking a shortcut as to doing a smart decision along something, right? So, and then I think I alluded to this throughout the talk, where there's this love for learning. So, especially in tech, so you gotta love learning because it never stops, and you have to be excited about that it's not stopping. So. And then I've always had this tendency to always look at the positive and the possibilities. So when you present me with something to do that has not been done yet, or a problem, I tend to think around, okay, what can we do? So I tend to look at that. And so that helps me to move forward, as opposed to being too negative about certain things. I'm not saying let's not be critical. Let's be critical. But at the same time, let's allow that critical thinking so that it allows us to move past whatever problem or whatever goal that we are looking to achieve. So, and then I think lastly, I think there's just a lot of grace. I mean, there's the rest is really just grace. That's why I'm here where I am right now.
So wrapping up, thank you for your time. And so siguro, just to wrap up, what's your advice? Parang maybe top advice, yes, or top three advice to our audience?
Siguro, I mean, the audience is really, I suppose you guys are at the stage when you're trying to figure out what you want to do, the term that the world is your oyster, so to speak. And so you have a lot of time. I think it's really just, try to look at the possibilities of what you can become.
Yes.
And don't copy anyone else. Just be you. What are your strengths? Try to identify what you like to do, who you want to become, and then align what needs to be aligned towards what you want. I remember this quote before that you have to sacrifice for the things that you want. So sometimes there will be things that, you really have to put in the work. But if you don't, then what you want becomes the sacrifice because it doesn't happen. So, for all of you guys, top three, let me just circle back to that. One is just, try to be you. Be you.
Be you.
Whatever your strengths are, polish that. You don't need to copy anyone. Just find out who you are and what you're good at and what you want to be. Second is there's no substitute for hours. So you work your ass off. Can I say that? So and you'll see it. You'll see it. It will happen as long as you continue, as long as you don't stop and you focus on your work. And then three is don't forget about grace, because there's grace that's available to you. And that phrase where the universe aligns.
Right.
That's it can happen. And so look at the possibilities of who you can become. Me, see Rafi here. And the people that you see, the internet, they're like, these are just, models in a way that you could be something like that, but ultimately it's really who can you become. So, and right now with the internet, it's like level playing field for everyone. So just be excited about your future and looking forward to what you guys would become.
So thank you so much, Sam. No, and our audience, again, if you've learned or relate to Sam's story, or you want to ask him further questions, you can always comment it below or if you're listening in Spotify or in podcast, you can also message me as the author as well. Now, we really look forward to hearing your questions and your comments. No? Please do leave that below. So Sam, before we say our final goodbyes, do you have any last shout out to our audience?
Oh yeah, well, just shout out to the True Money Tech team. So just want to say you guys rock and thank you, because we are where we are. We've achieved what we've achieved because of, all of us working together, putting our best. So thank you, and looking forward to just doing more exciting things with you guys.
So. All right. So thank you so much, and audience, goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
And of course, if you like our content, don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe button, and notification bell.